Only side two of this cassette contained audio. This is the way the tape came from Chapel Library, and so far, they have not been able to supply the first half of the sermon. We trust, however, that half of a sermon will be better than no sermon at all.
What did he do at the flood? How could a God who had created man destroy man? Because man had destroyed himself. Man had sinned against him. Think with me. Think with me. Why the flood? Why the wrath of God upon so many billions of people? It is because the imagination of the thoughts of man were only evil continually. Why the wrath of God upon Sodom and Gomorrah? It is because the stench of their sin had come forth into his nostrils, and he said, I must destroy them. Why did God's wrath fall upon the children of Israel? Because of their unbelief and disobedience in the wilderness, and they wandered in their carcasses, fell in the wilderness for 40 years. It is because, he said, their unbelief. They sinned, they would not believe me. They would not believe me. Why has he turned nation against nation and punished them? It is because of sin. Then when you come to the New Testament, and people said, well, you won't find the wrath of God in the New Testament. But as soon as you open its pages, you find a man standing on the banks of the River Jordan, telling people to flee from the wrath to come. Repent. Turn from your sins. Turn and do that which is good. Turn unto the living God. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Why? That they might flee from the wrath to come. And then people say, well, why don't you quote John 3:16? Why don't you preach upon it? But there's not a verse of Scripture in the Bible that speaks of the wrath of God and the love of God together any more than John 3:16 does. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should have eternal life. Why? He would not come into judgment. Read it there. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. That's the wrath of God. But have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. That's the reason that He came. In the very Scripture, it is quoted for the love of God. It is the very wrath of God. And why did the love of God, why was the love of God manifested? It was because we were going to perish. The wrath of God was upon us from our mother's womb. We were going to die without hope and without God. We were going to die unjustified and unsanctified. We were going to a devil's hell. And God came. That's the reason when we get to the fourth verse, the Lord willed the next Sunday. But God, who is rich in mercy, He did something. He intruded into our lives. He came. Why did Paul stand at Mars Hill, there in Acts 17, and said, God has appointed a day in which He is going to judge the world in righteousness by that man whom hath ordained, even Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. He said, repent. Repent, for God has appointed a day. Judgment is coming. The wrath of God is coming. Why does the apostle start in that gracious book of Romans that speaks of the justification of God? Why does he start it by saying, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness? Why, right with the gospel that he wants to preach, does he come in with those great truths? Because you see, Paul has no gospel apart from the wrath of God. He has no gospel apart from the wrath of God. God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Then he goes to the second chapter of Romans and he says, listen, You better repent. You better repent. It's the goodness and kindness of God, the long-suffering of God, the forbearance of God, the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. And why should we repent? Verse 5, for after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Judgment's coming. Wrath is coming. When we don't know how God bears with this nation and with this world so long and has borne with it, I don't know. Why has He borne with you and I so long? Why did He bear with me 43 years before I closed in with Him? Long suffering. But He does. But all the time that we stay outside of Christ, the Word says that we are hardening our hearts. Our impenitent hearts are treasuring up unto ourselves wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. He tells us in verse 8, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there waits nothing but indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentiles. Why in this book it brings forth salvation by the imputed righteousness of Christ? Why does He bring in the wrath of God? To let us know that it's the gospel of God that saves us from this wrath to come. And that God has provided a way of escape in our Lord Jesus Christ. In this very same book of Ephesians, He warns us not only in that second chapter of the wrath to come, but look at the fifth chapter and look at the sixth verse of Ephesians chapter 5. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And that's what we are. And beloved, until we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are under the wrath of God. The wrath of God is an expression of God's hatred of sin. An expression of God's punishment of sin. It is a clear statement to the fact that you and I are dead in trespasses and sins. And God's wrath against sin manifests itself. An eternal punishment. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And see what He has to say. I want you to listen. 2 Thessalonians 1:7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. That's the teaching of God's Word. Do you believe that? I certainly do. And yet I had a man look me in the eye one day, and he said, if you really would believe that, you'd run up and down these streets and you'd take everybody you see by the coat collar and you'd scream at them, flee to the wrath to come. And sometimes I wonder if I really do believe it. That everyone that dies outside of Christ will be under the wrath of God forever. That's awful, isn't it? That's an awful thing to think of. And yet, when we think of the holiness of God, when we think of this righteous being, when we think of this one whom we have sinned against, how else can it be but that God should come down and wrath and judgment against us? Beloved, when we argue against this truth, we argue against the Word of God. We argue against revealed light, and the only place that we can find this is in the Word of God. If we throw the Scriptures overboard, we throw the truth overboard. Man is not going to tell us this. Man, with all his philosophy, will never tell us this. Man will never tell us what's in our hearts. And the reason I know that this is true is because I know my heart. When I come to a verse of Scripture and says that they go forth from their mother's womb speaking lies, all I've got to do is look back in my life in the furthest back I can remember. And I'm thinking of one instance right now when I was 5 years old. I was caught doing something that I should not have done. And I lied about it. Vivid, the picture comes back to me now. Why did I lie? It was my nature. Children of wrath, even as others. How do I know? Beloved, I know what goes through my own mind. I know what goes through my own heart. I'm reading a book this week, and to the last two chapters, by Jerry Bridges, on trusting God. I'm going to get copies. I want you to read it. I want you to read it. This man tells me what goes on in my heart. You know what he said? He said he was preparing to speak to one place, one time, at a place in a conference. And he had worked out his messages and all of his outlines. And then about 3 or 4 days before he was to go, he got a hold of a great truth and he left everything he had and he was so filled with this thing. And the thoughts began to come to him, boy, they will really think I'm a great preacher and a great teacher and a great thinker if I expound these things. And he said, in my stupidity, I went with that, with all those thoughts. And the whole thing fell so flat. And how many times has pride done the same thing in my own heart? And how many times have we sat and learned the truth and pride has come up? Boy, when I preach that, and when I proclaim that, they're going to think I'm somebody, or I've really been studying. That man was telling me my heart, what goes on there. Do I want these things? By nature I do, but by grace I don't. And that's the reason every child of God is able to tell to God, thy wrath is just. And I'll tell you something this morning. If God would cancel the covenant with Christ that He's made for my soul, and He'd send me to the hell I deserve to go, I'll tell every demon in hell God's right and I'm wrong because I've sinned against Him. And I've sinned enough since He saved me for Him to send me to two hells. The wrath of God. And why do we appreciate the grace of God? It's because this wrath of God as a cloud over us has been removed. And even though we find ourselves still in these bodies, and we find ourselves thinking the thoughts that we don't want to think, and going in a way sometimes we don't want to go, and we cry unto God for forgiveness and deliverance, and we cry unto Him for mercy, we know that we shall not be brought into judgment because the judgment has fell upon Christ. And I think the greatest proof of this truth is found in the book of Revelation. All the way through this book, we find the Lamb. The Lamb. The Lamb. But I want you to see in Revelation 6 who the Lamb is. Talks about the last day. The great earthquake and the stars falling from heaven. The kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth upon the land, upon the throne. And what's the rest of it? Fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne. And from what? And from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? That's a paradox, isn't it? A lamb and wrath. But beloved, He's the Lamb that taketh away our sins now. He shall be the Lamb that shall administer the wrath of God. upon all those that do not obey Him. The gospel offer goes out. The gospel goes out. You are told over and over that you need Christ, that you stand under the wrath of God. You're told over and over to flee from the wrath to come. You're told that God is going to bring you into judgment and make you give an account from all of your sins. But you go on, and you go on, and the day's coming. We will not be able to flee from the wrath of the Lamb. And that one who has offered himself in the gospel shall be the one who shall judge us according to our works. Where do you stand this morning? We've proven from Scripture. We all sinned in Adam. Go to Romans chapter 5 with me. Let me go over that briefly before we close. Look at it. We're in Romans chapter 5. He says in verse 12, "For as by one man sin entered in the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And how did we sin? We sinned in Adam. He stood as our representative. And when he rebelled against God, we became rebels in him. And then he goes on to explain in verses 13 and 14 that even though there was no law given from Adam to Moses, yet death reigned even over those, the infants, that had not committed any sins at all of their own. Yet they were rebels in Adam. And death came upon them. The greatest illustration of the universality of sin, to me, is the death of infants. Why do they die? And they have not yet committed any sin. It is because every man comes in this world under the judgment of physical death because of Adam's sin, and comes as a child of wrath. He goes on to show us, verse 15, for if through the offense of one many be dead, verse 16, the judgment by one to condemnation. By verse 17, by one man's offense death reigned by one. Verse 17. Verse 18. By the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. You see it? Beloved, if we do not believe that, then we can't believe the comparison that he gives here. And it's the comparison that if in Adam we sin and we die, in Christ we shall be made alive. Amen. And that's the other side of the picture that he gives here. Look at it. I'll read it to you. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. By one man. Verse 17, we shall receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, and this shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Verse 18, by one the free gift came upon all men unto justification. Verse 19, by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And if we do not recognize the imputed sin of Adam to us, and that we were in Adam, we will never recognize and understand the imputed righteousness to us, the last Adam, the second man who came in the likeness of sinful flesh and without sin, died in our place. Amen. Death in Adam, life in Christ. For he tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, since by one man came death, by one man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. You see, we were in Adam under the wrath of God. We need to be in Christ to escape the wrath of God. And he came. He came and gave himself. Came and brought us this salvation. We might be delivered from the wrath to come. So I ask you this morning to cry unto the Lord, to look to the Lord, to cry out after Him. Oh, my living God, reveal Thyself unto me as the one who is rich in mercy, the one who is great in love, the one who is able to quicken us and make us alive in Thyself. Work by Thy grace in my soul. Give me that faith to lay hold of You. Grant unto me that repentance that I might acknowledge the truth. Amen. This should be my cry. This should be Your cry. It should be all of our cries this morning. Lord, work in our hearts. You have showed me what I am in Adam. Show me what I am in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that we'll leave this building this morning by the grace of God, His Spirit working in us, having a knowledge of this one thing, that we are by nature the children of wrath, even as others, and why we need this distinguishing grace of God to work in our souls, and why salvation is by grace, and grace alone, through our Lord Jesus Christ. I trust that God will work. I've cried to Him that He would enable us to preach the truth. He let us preach it in love. He let us preach with understanding. And even though we say this morning we do not understand it, yet we are to believe it and know that it is truth because it is the Word of God. So cry to Him that He will write it upon your heart. Ask Him to give you grace not to rebel against it. Beloved, I cry that all the time. Even as His child, I cry that. Lord, don't let me rebel against You. Don't let me rebel against Your truth. Keep me and hold me in the way that You want me to go. Deliver me from myself. Deliver me from my sins. Deliver me from my thoughts. Deliver me from my ways. Oh, Lord, You work. Oh, Lord, You show Your power. Oh, Lord, You show Your grace. Oh, Lord, You deliver. This is our cry. And beloved, all of this is by grace. And I'll tell you, there was a day I didn't have that cry. There was a day I knew nothing about that cry. There was a day I did not desire that cry. I wanted my own way. I wanted my own will. I wanted to run after sin. I wanted to drink it up as water. I didn't want to bow to the Savior. I didn't want to bow to His Lordship. But He made me willing in the day of His power. And I praise Him for this. And I praise Him for this. And I continually praise Him for this. And may God deliver us is our cry this morning. Let us sing number 283 as we close.